Welcome to the Happiness Minute. Our episode today is about midlife crisis. The podcast episode explores that a midlife crisis typically associated with individuals in their 40s or 50s can manifest at any age. From millennials grappling with career uncertainty to retirees seeking new purpose, this podcast episode examines the universal themes of introspection, transition, and the search for meaning. And our guest today is Sharon Eden, the Wild Elder. She is a spiritual psychotherapist coach with over 40 years' expertise, knowledge, and wisdom in her field, including a master's degree. She specializes in working with discontented women, showing them how to nourish their souls to empower their lives so they know who they really are, where they're going, and what they came here to do. Her work includes individual programs, group work, and courses, and her groundbreaking book, Rediscovered, gets published this October 2024. You can contact her via her website, thewildelder.com, on LinkedIn, and her Rediscovered Women group on Facebook. Hi, everyone. We're back in the Happiness Minute, and we have a very special guest today. Her name is Sharon. Hi, Sharon. How are you today?
Hi, Anna. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. So, Sharon, we have a very interesting topic today. It's about midlife crises. So, before we start, can you tell us more about you and your business?
Yes, I will. So I'm Sharon Eden. I'm known as the Wild Elder, and I'm a spiritual psychotherapist coach. I specialize in working with discontented women to show them how to nourish their souls to empower their lives so they can know who they really are, where they're going, and what they came here to do. And I do that in many ways, individually, groups, masterclasses. And I have my own group on Facebook called Rediscovered Women, because it's all about rediscovery. And if any men are listening, don't worry. Whatever I'm going to talk about is going to apply to you.
It's going to apply, yeah. So Sharon, first of all, my first question is, what is a midlife crisis and what are the common signs of it?
Okay, I knew you were going to ask that. So, the psychologist Carl Jung was one of the first to really describe it. And it usually occurs somewhere around 40-ish plus. And it's a time when you've built your home, you've had your family. If you've had a family, if you haven't had a family, you're with a partner or you're not with a partner. But by that age, you kind of established yourself in whatever sense you can think of in terms of you have a roof over your head, food in your mouth, and a certain way of life and hobbies. And everything might look absolutely great. And suddenly what happens is you begin to feel unsettled and discontented. In extreme, it could be depression. That's an extreme. You may feel very stressed. You may feel lost. You may feel, what's going on with me? You may go to the doctor and get some pills, but actually the pills don't work because what's happening is you've come to a point in your life which Jung and in the spiritual field would be called a crisis of meaning and purpose. suddenly it's, there has to be more to life than this. And once upon a time, it was a great joke that men tended either to buy a motorbike at that time, or they swap
or a BMW.
Yes,
or a BMW or a Mercedes.
I love that. And yes, you're right. If they can afford it.
If they can afford it. But they would afford it anyway. They'll try to afford it.
They will. Or they swap their partner for a younger model, whatever their partner's gender. So, so the general feelings are really, I'm missing something. There's something missing. I don't know what it is. And it can be very, very disturbing when you've got a nice pattern of life going and everything seems okay. But hey, that's the midlife crisis, a crisis of meaning and purpose at a deeper level. Because very often people will do things like move home, you know, take up a new hobby, try to do something externally. And it might subside for a while, but the unsettled feeling will also return because it's not asking you to look outside. It's actually asking you to look inside.
Yeah. I think, do you think like midlife crisis can happen in any age? And how do they differ? Because like on my side, for me, I think I had it when I was 28, but I might be wrong. But yeah, can it be in any age? And how do they differ for the, you know, like in terms of it when you're younger, how does it differ when you have it when you're older?
Okay. So I actually had my first, and I'm saying first, and I'll talk about it later, but I had my first midlife crisis in my late 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And similar to me, I think it's 28, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's sometimes, again, you see, you're hitting a decade birthday. I think they happen before decade birthdays sometimes. So, yes, really, you can have them at any age. And there's not much difference. It's still feeling unsettled, feeling like there has to be more, a kind of searching feeling, but not knowing what you're searching for. And, you know, most people will change career or go on a fabulous holiday or do something external, believing that will make a difference. And like I said before, unless you tap into the meaning and purpose of yourself, that crisis comes back again. Whatever you do to try and make it feel better doesn't last very long.
Yeah, you mentioned about crises. So crisis is a sort of like it has a negative connotation. So can a midlife crisis be a positive catalyst for change, personal growth and transformation?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. It's a, Jung would say, it's a spiritual crisis. You know, you've done all the things in the world to kind of establish yourself. I think they, in India, they call that being a householder, something like that. Yeah. And life's ticking along and boom. Suddenly, out of nowhere, it just lands. It's all right. When I don't talk, it's because I'm getting stuff. So if you see my eyes disappear off, and the word crisis is taken in a bad way.
Yeah, it's a
crisis could be fantastic. Because it is a catalyst for change. If you use that time as a kind of rite of passage, if you think to yourself, okay, I'm developing, I'm growing myself. I don't know where this is going to end up, but I know I'm transitioning from one kind of me to another kind of me. And the thing is, you're not going to turn into a monster or something so alien that the people that you love won't still love you and want to know you. There are deep, special qualities of experience that change in you through the process of that crisis.
Yeah, because you also mentioned something about, like, you know, men and women. I would believe that there are differences in experience and how they encounter midlife crisis. Can you tell us more about that? You know, what's the difference between the two genders?
Yes, there is a slight difference. But of course, there's always the cases that break the rules. So don't worry, you know, if you don't fit the mold. With men, it is generally an external thing, very much so, that they will look for something to make them feel better. Although that's changing, you know. I would say that in the 20th century, that was very much the case. Men cut off at the neck, you know, go and buy the new car, like you said, or a mistress or whatever. That's less so now. Men are becoming more aware, I'm pleased to say. And generally for a woman, because of all our conditioning, even though it's the 21st century, the first thought is, there has to be something wrong with me, because here I have this reasonable life, or even, you know, really great life, and I'm not happy. So it's far more internal with a woman that she begins to think she's doing something wrong or something has to be wrong. But I have to say, women as well can externalize it and find a new partner or go for the motorbike too.
Or so, a plane, if it's a woman, you're like, oh, I'm going to buy a plane.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's such, you know, if I stop and breathe for a minute, it's such an awful time and such a magnificent time if you know what's happening, if you know how to cooperate with it and be gentle with yourself. You know, there's an unfolding, a personal and a spiritual growth going on.
So in terms of personal growth, do you think relationships such as marriage or parenthood influence also the timing and intensity of a midlife crisis? Because like before, like you said, it's not normally when you're in your 40s. So that would have been, you know, when you had kids or you've gotten married already. Do you think it influences the timing and intensity of a midlife crisis sometimes?
It can do. It's like for women who've had children, although women are having children much later these days.
Oh, yeah, later now.
You know, when dear old Jung was around, by 40, you're already quite old and you would have had children generally who were independent adults by then, really. These days, we're having children much later. But an empty nest, they call it a syndrome, but it's not really. It's when you're challenged, when you lose your role, that can happen. But you know what, Anna? Anything can trigger it. And it doesn't need anything to trigger it. It can happen just by itself because we're evolving creatures and we have our own timetable. And of course, what's going on in our environment, I'm not really up on Gen X and all that kind of stuff, but I do know that young women, for example, these days, there are a lot of strains and stresses that I didn't have way back. Although I have my own strains and stresses then. So, and I said, and I said earlier that it can happen again. So, it did, mine led me on a path to find my purpose. And that's the work, part of what the reason I'm doing the work I'm doing now. But I had another crisis after my mother passed. And that's not unusual as well when you lose a parent or lose the second parent, which is even more impactful because you become an orphan then. So life happenings can be triggers, like redundancy, like being in your job and thinking, oh my God, I don't want to be doing this anymore.
Yeah, I did. I think that was it. Like when I was 28, I was like, I don't want to do this.
I can imagine it. And that triggers it. But having your first child can trigger it. It's such a big life change that people don't really consider. Yeah, lots and lots of things.
So you mentioned something about how to cope. So what sort of strategies or coping strategies or you need to do to be, to navigate your midlife crisis, especially for people who are experiencing midlife crisis at an earlier age as well? Because, sometimes when it's earlier, you're not as mature enough to understand it compared to when you're older.
Well, also, lots of older people don't understand it either, Anna. It depends on, if you've read a lot of self-help books and you go to workshops and stuff like that, you'll have a clue about what's happening to you. But an ordinary person who's not involved in those areas, would be at as much at a loss as a younger person would be. So the first thing you need to know is you are not going mad, because it can feel like it sometimes. It can really feel like you're going bonkers. And of course, your logical mind will tell you, what are you complaining about? What's the matter with you? Got good job, good salary, or you're in a good relationship, or as my ex-mother-in-law said to me, but he's a good earner. When I wanted to get divorced, all of that outside society on the whole, if your life appears to be good, we'll think she's throwing it all away, but you're not. You absolutely aren't. I'm trying to describe how you can navigate it. The thing is not to try and stop it. Because if you stop it, if you go to the GP and get antidepressants or, I can't remember the name of them, the ones that treat your anxiety, it'll just stop and it'll come back later. So you might as well go with what's happening. And the first thing to do is just quieten down. Just stop the noise. Take some time out to be on your own and still with a journal. I'm just looking at my desk. I haven't got one here to show you, which can be an exercise book. It doesn't have to be anything, very special. And start writing what's happening with you. I'm stopping. Would it be okay, Anna, if I just give people a little simple exercise that they can
Yeah,
do?
sure. Yeah,
All
they can do
right.
that. Because it's a good
So,
idea to actually show them as well.
yeah, okay. So the thing to do is have your journal with you and to sit, don't lie down, sit on a chair with your feet firm on the ground and your back upright. and kind of relax your body, you know, because you will be feeling tense. Some of this, you know, what's going on in your emotions is in your body. So just relax yourself, you know, whatever way you want to. And then close your eyes, knowing that you're in total control and can stop at any time. And take 3 deep breaths in. Deep breaths from your belly. Just inhale through your nose and exhale through your mouth. Another big one. In and out. And out. And continue breathing slowly and gently in your normal pace. And as you do, focus deep down into your belly. You might even want to just drop your chin a little to focus down into your belly. And trusting your own inner wisdom with nothing to do. And nowhere to go. Just sit quietly with yourself. Now, I'm going to keep talking because we've got a podcast to do. But you could spend minutes even more if you want to there. And when you are in that deep place in your belly, just trusting your own inner wisdom, just ask it, what do you need me to know? You will get a lot of nonsense, or so you think it is, but nothing you get is nonsense, okay? So write down whatever you get. If it's a green apple, if it's a rocket going over the moon, it doesn't matter what you get. Write it down, record it. Because your wild soul and inner wisdom doesn't necessarily speak logically to you at all. It gives you a smiling. It gives you all kinds of bizarre clues. I don't know why. And I often say if there's somewhere to go when I'm physically dead, I'm going to have a word with the management because I think it could be an easier system. But by doing that, you're indicating your willingness to cooperate with the process. And that begins it. Just listening to your own inner wisdom and what it needs you to know. You can ask it all kinds of questions. I can't promise you'll always get an answer. And also, if you get nothing, I'd like you to know that's the right answer too. And just stay with the nothing. Something may emerge in it. If it doesn't, that's perfectly okay. Just feel the quality of the nothing. What do you feel in the nothing? What's the sense of its quality? It's all information. And of course, I would always advise that you do seek help from a professional who's been there before, who knows about this crisis of meaning and purpose. Because it's so much bigger than cognitions, it's so much bigger than behavior. It's you know, it's you evolving or trying to evolve. So you need to work with somebody who knows about this stuff.
Yeah, good question about like the timing. How long does normally a midlife crisis happen? Is it like a year, 2 years? Because sometimes, like, it would be just very quick, and then it just disappears. But How long is there like something out there that says there sometimes it's like a specific time?
I'm so sorry, I can't give you one.
Yeah. Because I think everything is different for everyone, I would say.
Everything is different for everyone, and also for yourself. For example, when I look back, the first midlife crisis I had in my late 20s, I think that had been coming on for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it had. And there was kind of a bit of a low grade depression that went on, and and times I would go, oh, what is it? What is it? I'm missing something. There has to be more. And then, of course, my other side will come in and say, "Oh, for goodness sake, Sharon, you're a respectable, semi-detached suburban wife and mother. There's nothing wrong. Get on with it." But of course, there was something wrong. And then the one I had after my mother passed was a matter of months. And like you say, sometimes I wouldn't call the fast ones the midlife crisis thing, because I think the fast ones are you get a download pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. You're kind of agitated about something or uncertain or discontented, but you kind of get, okay, I know what needs to happen here. It's the ones that go over time that I would call a midlife crisis, whenever they happen. And unfortunately, for some people who don't get the help they need, and end up sometimes in the mental health system, it just goes on and on and on.
So, because it stops it. It's not really, it's not normal, you know?
That's right. It stops it. And it's like a strike on the tube trains or the overland trains.
Yeah.
You know, everything stops and you're stuck.
Yeah.
Stuck in it. So I would always encourage people to get help from professionals who understand what's happening.
So I think my last question for today is, what is the main takeaway from our talk today for midlife crisis?
I think the main takeaway for all of you listening to this is, and I know it's going to sound a bit crazy,
there's no crazy.
is to embrace it. If it's happening to you, don't try and pushing it away. You know, we're so quick to push away discomfort, but hold an attitude of curiosity. This is interesting. This is happening to me. I remember Anna's podcast where this woman said, and just write, sit with yourself still, listen to yourself and start writing. So, yes, the main takeaway is embrace it. You're evolving. You're growing more of your magnificence.
Thank you, Sharon. So, Sharon, for our listeners, how would they contact you? How do they reach you if they need a bit of help, especially when they're encountering their midlife crisis?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you can contact me through my website, thewildelder.com. I am on Facebook, Sharon Eden Wild Elder. And you'll also find me on LinkedIn.
Okay, cool. So thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Sharon, for today. Everyone, that's us. See you in 2 weeks' time. But don't forget to subscribe, like this episode, and share it to your friends and family. So thank you again. Bye.
Pleasure. Bye. Bye.